from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Malay people of Riau give customary title to President Joko Widodo. Indonesia-Cambodia agreed to strengthen Asian centrality. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to receive customary title of Datuk Sri Setia Amanah Negara from Malay Customary Institution of Riau. The customary title is the highest appreciation from the people to the president as a gratitude of his remarkable policies. The title is scheduled to be given to the president on December 15. After met with the president at the Merdeka Palace on Tuesday afternoon, Chairman of the Malay Customary Institution Riau, Datuk Sri Syahril Abu Bakar said that the Malay Riau people have many considerations to give this title to the president, such as his success in eliminating smoke caused by forest fire in Riau. President Joko Widodo is also considered successful to take over management of the Rokan Block that was run by Chevron since 1924.
Bahwa lebih kurang 17 tahun lamanya masyarakat adat Melayu Riau dan masyarakat Riau pada umumnya, ya Tuan Gubernur.
More or less 17 years, the Riau Malay indigenous people and the people of Riau were covered by smoke. Then the president adopted a policy of removing smoke, among others, in Riau province. For the past 3 years, smoke has gone in our region. In addition, the Rokan Block in Riau province has returned to the Indonesian nation managed by Pertamina. Thank God, the regional government through regional companies can jointly manage the Rokan Block. Datuk Sri Syahril Abu Bakar also mentioned that the Riau indigenous people also thank President Joko Widodo for signing the Presidential Regulation No. 86 of 2018. Through the Presidential Regulation, customary land can now be certified and have an impact on the survival and future of the people. Indonesia and Cambodia have agreed to intensify cooperation for Asian unity and centrality during the 4th Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation between Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and her Cambodian counterpart Prak Sokhon in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister Retno Marsudi said the governments of the two countries have agreed to cooperate to ensure that Southeast Asia remain a peaceful, stable and prosperous region. Meanwhile, Prak Sokhon conveyed Cambodian government support for the Indo-Pacific concept promoted by Indonesia by prioritizing Asian unity and centrality. Indonesia has been promoting the development of Indo-Pacific concept that underlines several key principles, including cooperation, inclusiveness, transparency, openness, and respect for international law. The Indonesian government also refers to three main areas of cooperation under Indo-Pacific concept, namely maritime cooperation in tackling crimes in the sea, cooperation in connectivity to spur economic growth, and cooperation in realizing sustainable development through the achievement of inclusive sustainable development goals. Indonesia has reaffirmed its important positions in coping with the impact of climate change. The Indonesian commitment has been declared in negotiations in the Conference of Climate Change, COP24, in Katowice, Poland, on December 2nd to 14, 2018. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar leads the Indonesian delegation to the conference. It is estimated that around 45,000 delegates from 197 countries attended the United Nations session discussing status and efforts to control the impact of climate change in the world. The Indonesian delegation is ready not only for negotiation but also for soft diplomacy, that Indonesia has made much progress in the implementation of the Paris Agreement on climate change. The Paris Agreement is implemented in Indonesia through cooperation of all concerned, Siti Nurbaya Bakar said. The Indonesian government is consistent with its commitment to bring down the greenhouse gas emission and the program of adaptations to climate change as mentioned in the Document of Nationally Determined Contribution, or NDC, as a product of the Paris Agreement. Indonesia also has ratified the Paris Agreement. Through NDC, Indonesia is committed by itself to reducing greenhouse gas emission by 29% in 2030 and with international cooperation by 41%. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. All parties, including state apparatuses, should become more intelligent and wiser to work in a directed, united, and integrated manner in the Industrial Revolution 4.0 era. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated. The minister also remarked during a conversation with newsmen after opening a seminar on strengthening the capacity of Indonesian leaders to face the age of Industrial Revolution 4.0 recently, that in this era of Industrial Revolution 4.0, Indonesia has to become smarter and wiser in building a team. It works by having an open mind and heart as well as a strong will. The minister stated that President Joko Widodo had also called to increase the quality of Indonesia's human resources through quality education. In the meantime, Research, Technology and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir revealed that his side will reform the education system at higher education institution, which had been assessed as having shortcomings. The era of Industrial Revolution 4.0 is characterized by the emergence of supercomputers, smart robots, vehicle without drivers, genetic editing, and the development of neurotechnology that allows humans to further optimize brain function. Funding of infrastructure projects by the Islamic Development Bank, ISDB, is believed to be free from ambiguities, according to head of ISDB's regional hub Indonesia, Ibrahim Ali Shukri. Shukri informed Antara on the sidelines of a workshop titled Unlocking Indonesia's Potential in Procuring Social Sector Projects through Public-Private Partnerships on Tuesday. He explained that ISDB is financing government infrastructure development projects whose profit margin calculation has been made with developers, so implementation of the projects in terms of financing is free from uncertainties. According to Shukri, Indonesia is experiencing a demographic dividend, with 49.2% of the total population belonging to the productive age group of between 15 and 64 years old. Meanwhile, the Islamic Corporation for Investment Insurance and Export Credit has issued insurance worth $1 billion to support exports and investment in Indonesia. For Sukuk or Syariah Securities in Indonesia, ISDB has invested $1 billion. Manpower Minister M. Hanif Dakhiri announced recently that the ministry would sign a regulation guaranteeing social security for migrant workers in Indonesia. He added that the ministerial regulation had been created to implement the mandate of Law No. 29, Article 5, on migrant workers. The new ministerial regulation, which would be issued later this year, would replace Ministerial Regulation No. 7, 2017, on the social security of Indonesian workers. Manpower Ministry Secretary General Hairul Anwar said that after taking quite some time formulating the ministerial regulation, in close coordination with relevant stakeholders, the minister was finally able to finalize it. Hairul said social security was one of Indonesia's duties in protecting foreign workers in the country. Hairul attended a meeting recently with House of Representative Commission 9 overseeing demographic affairs, health, manpower and transmigration to finalize the draft regulation led by Commission Chairman Dede Yusuf. According to Hairul, the regulation requires employers to provide four types of social security for migrant workers: national health care insurance, occupational hazard insurance, life insurance, and pension fund. Indonesia is aiming to be the best fishing tourism destination in the world. Dwi Suryo Indroyono Susilo, the Tourism Ministry's Marine Tourism Development Acceleration Team Head, said the ministry was collaborating with the Maritime Affairs and Fishery Ministry to host the 2018 Indonesia Fishing Tournament. Susilo stated his hope that the tournament would be the beginnings of developing fishing tourism as an activity with economic value. Antara News Agency reported that the government had started to map potential marine tourism destinations where activities could be developed such as diving, kayaking, snorkeling, and surfing. The tourism law states that fishing tourism is a marine tourism product. However, its development is considered slow, especially compared to diving tourism, with spots in Indonesia that are recognized as world-class. Around 1,500 people took part in the tournament, with 175 coming from Japan, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Thailand, and the United States. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's title is Impact of Decreased Trade War on Strengthening Rupiah. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that rupiah has a chance to continue to strengthen after the pressure of a trade war between United States of America and China began to decrease. This was stated by Minister Darmin in the Seoul Network in 2018 in Jakarta on Monday. Compared to other developing countries, Minister Darmin also remarked that rupiah undergoes the fastest increase. In fact, the strengthening of rupiah is better than ASEAN countries and other countries' currencies such as Brazil, India, South Africa, and Turkey. At the opening of trade this week, rupiah appreciated against the US dollar. The rupiah exchange rate, which had fallen in the range 15,000 rupiah per US dollar, this week it opened higher to 14,270 per US dollar. Positively, the meeting of U.S. President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping became one of the triggers. As reported by CNBC on Sunday, the two leaders agreed that no additional tariffs will be imposed after the upcoming January 1, 2019. This is what is believed to make the trade war subside. The trade war between the U.S. and China began when the United States threatened the application of tariffs on imported goods to China. The U.S. administration under the leadership of Donald Trump imposed a tariff on import of China's goods worth $34 billion on July 6, 2018. At the time, President Donald Trump threatened to increase trade conflicts with plans to implement tariffs up to $450 billion for China's goods if China counter U.S. policy. The sentiment had put pressure on financial markets, including stocks, currencies, and global trade. The decreased tension of trade war, besides having the potential to strengthen the rupiah exchange rate against the U.S. dollar, is also expected to relaunch the implementation of Indonesian government's economic policy program to make improvements such as improving infrastructure quality, human resources, and land redistribution. With the strengthening of the value of rupiah against the U.S. dollar, Indonesian economic system becomes very stable. Prices of basic commodities could be reached by all people. And hopefully, the increased value of rupiah will show promising signs for Indonesian's progress. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history.
We start from a historical event on December 5, 1954, which commemorates as the Indonesian Fleet Day. After the Navy's forces fulfilled all elements of forces, such as on-water vessel, underwater vessel, flight, landing, and base forces, the establishment of Fleet Command at Dermaga Ujung, Surabaya, was officially opened by the Navy Chief of Staff, Admiral Marta Dinata. Based on the consideration of the Navy leadership, the Fleet Day was confirmed by the decree of the Navy Chief of Staff number SCAP/4030/1987, dated November 17, 1987, and the decree of the Navy Chief of Staff number SCAP/1671/7/1994, dated July 1, 1994. It stipulates that the day of the inauguration of the Fleet Command on December 5 was made as Indonesian Fleet Day, which becomes a reaffirmation of the existence of the Indonesian Fleet, which was commemorated as the Navy Day. Now we turn to the day of National Atomic Energy Agency Batan on December 5, 1958. The development and utilization of nuclear technology in Indonesia began with the establishment of the State Committee for Radioactive Investigation in 1954. The State Committee has responsibility to investigate the possibility of radioactive fallout from nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific Ocean. By paying attention to the development of utilization of atomic energy for the people's welfare, through Government Regulation No. 65 of 1958, then the Atomic Energy Council and the Atomic Energy Institute were formed on December 5, 1958, which were later refined to be the National Atomic Energy Agency Batan, based on Law No. 31, year 1964, concerning basic provisions of atomic energy. Furthermore, on December 5 annually, which become the day of history for the development of nuclear technology in Indonesia, has been designated as the anniversary of Batan. We end today's edition of Today in History with a commemoration of the International Volunteer Day on December 5. The United Nations, through Resolution 40212 on December 17, 1985, said that December 5 as the International Volunteer Day. The day was devoted to respecting organizations, communities, and individuals who consistently provide tangible social and economic contributions to the surrounding community and environment. The International Volunteer Day is part of the United Nations anniversary. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today, I'll bring a topic about Indonesia in cooperation with Saudi Arabia in flight investigation. Indonesia and Saudi Arabia have signed a memorandum of cooperation regarding aviation accident investigations and bilateral cooperation. This cooperation has been initiated since a workshop in Jeddah in March. During the workshop, delegations from Indonesia and Saudi Arabia held a bilateral meeting which produced a draft memorandum of cooperation whose main focus was to improve flight safety. The written statement of the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah, received in Jakarta on Sunday, December 2nd, stated that the memorandum of cooperation was signed by the chairman of the Indonesian Transportation Safety National Committee, Suryanto Cahyono, and the Director General of the Saudi Aviation Investigation Bureau, Abdullah O'Falamban, at the Flight Investigation Bureau office on Thursday, November 29. Indonesia and Saudi Arabia are fellow member countries of the International Civil Aviation Organization. Both countries have agreed to improve flight safety as mandated by Annex 13 of the Chicago Convention by focusing on concrete activities, namely training and the exchange of expertise, information, and experience. The scope of this cooperation includes, firstly, the offer of assistance and use of air transport safety investigation staff, appropriate facilities and equipment, and adequate resources. The assistance including expertise in engineering, operations, flight recorders, human resources, and management of organization. Secondly, facilitating the participation of other investigator parties as observers in aircraft accident investigations and serious incidents. The aim is to improve the understanding of other parties regarding investigative requirements and procedures. Thirdly, resources. The two countries can provide teams assistance in the investigation process, including flight recorder specialists and other technical specialists to those who request to become team members when conducting investigations. Fourthly, making a contact regularly and arrange visits or meetings with other parties. The aim is to exchange experience, skills, and technical knowledge. The Aviation Investigation Bureau plans to conduct a comparative study to the Indonesian National Transportation Safety Committee to study the organization structure of the Indonesian National Transportation Safety Committee. The Indonesian delegation was then invited to visit the laboratory of the Saudi Arabian Aviation Investigation Bureau, one of the most complete laboratories for investigative equipment, especially aviation. That was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesia and Cambodia have agreed to intensify cooperation for Asia's unity and centrality during the 4th Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation between Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and her Cambodian counterpart Prak Sokon in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesia has reaffirmed its important positions in coping with the impact of climate change. All parties, including state apparatuses, should become more intelligent and wiser to work in a directed, united, and integrated manner in the Industrial Revolution 4.0 era. Funding of infrastructure projects by the Islamic Development Banks is believed to be free from ambiguities, according to head of ISDB's Regional Hub Indonesia, Ibrahim Ali Shukri. Manpower Minister M. Hanif Dakiri announced recently that the ministry would sign a regulation guaranteeing social security for migrant workers in Indonesia. Indonesia is aiming to be the best fishing tourism destination in the world. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you like water tourism, Central Lombok becomes a perfect place for your holiday. Here, there is a beautiful beach called Kuta Mandalika. In addition, there is also an exotic waterfall that certainly should be visited. It is called Batu Janggot Waterfall, which is located at Aik Berik Village, North Batu Kilang, Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Listeners, Batu Janggot Waterfall is the right place for tourists who love water tourism. From Mataram City, the place has a distance around 45 kilometers or around 45 minutes by car or motorcycle. Road access to the location of the waterfall is quite easy because it is the same direction with the two other tourism objects which are very popular, namely Benang Kelambu and Benang Setukel Waterfall. Its access is also quite easy, but around 1.5 kilometers before entering to Batu Janggot Waterfall. The condition of its road is soil and stones. Thus, please make sure that your car or motorcycle is in good condition. Listeners, from parking area to Batu Janggot Waterfall, it is quite near, but to go to the location, tourists should go downstairs with trees surrounding the area. After going down some stairs, you will see the view of the water falling from the top of the cliff. The water is so clear because before falling down to become waterfall, the water comes down from the earth. Afterwards, the trip to the waterfall is continued by going down Overdraft River, which is quite deep. But please do not have to worry to go down. Manager of the tourism object makes sturdy wooden stairs. Besides for path to the waterfall, the stairs can also be used as a spot to take pictures. Batu Janggot Waterfall is not only unique because of its springs, but it also has high cliffs which exist at the riverbank. The strong and sturdy cliff is viewed more exotically if it is seen from the bottom. Satisfying to enjoy the scenery, the tourists can soak at the edge of the pool. Its place is safe because it is far from the falling water. Some tourists usually try sensation by jumping from the top of the pool. However, you must be careful when swimming, especially when rainy season comes. Listeners, in addition to enjoying natural scenery at Batu Janggot Waterfall Complex, tourists can also try some playgrounds. One of them is the Flying Fox, which is safe and certainly also offers unforgettable sensation. If you are interested in the beauty of the waterfall, it is free of charge. You only pay parking ticket 5,000 rupiahs. You will be satisfied to play. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Labuan Bajo. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Labuan Bajo. The conversation is between Tony and Enda at Joko's house. They are talking about famous tourism places in Indonesia.
Apakah kamu tahu Labuan Bajo?
Iya, itu tempat wisata yang terkenal di Indonesia.
Mengapa pantai itu terkenal?
Sebab terumbu karang dan pemandangannya sangat indah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Terkenal, terkenal, in English famous. Terumbu karang, coral reefs, pantai, pantai, beach, pemandangan, pemandangan, view or scene, karena. Karena, because, sebab, sebab, because. Apakah kamu tahu Labuan Bajo? Apakah kamu tahu Labuan Bajo? In English, do you know about Labuan Bajo? Itu tempat wisata yang terkenal di Indonesia. Itu tempat wisata yang terkenal di Indonesia. In English, it is a famous tourism place in Indonesia. Mengapa pantai itu terkenal? Mengapa pantai itu terkenal? In English, why is the beach famous? Karena terumbu karang dan pemandangannya sangat indah. Karena terumbu karang dan pemandangannya sangat indah. In English, because its coral reefs and views are very beautiful. Tony and Enda are talking about the famous place as a tourism object, namely Labuan Bajo. Because Tony never seen and visited there, he wants to know the reason why is the beach famous in the world. Tony said, "Mengapa pantai itu terkenal?" Enda then says the reasons by using the word sebab. Sebab terumbu karang dan pemandangannya sangat indah. The word sebab is the same with karena, means because. Tony, mengapa banyak orang pergi ke Pulau Bali? In English, why do many people go to Bali? Enda, sebab pemandangannya indah. In English, because its scenery is beautiful. Tony, mengapa Raja Ampat sangat terkenal? In English, why is Raja Ampat very famous? Enda, karena pemandangan di bawah lautnya sangat indah. Karena pemandangan di bawah lautnya sangat indah. In English, because its underwater scenery is very beautiful. This is an information. Indonesia is an archipelagic country. Therefore, Indonesia has many beaches. Some tourism objects in Indonesia have been listed on UNESCO as the World Heritage Site, including Raja Ampat and Labuan Bajo. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Apakah kamu tahu Labuan Bajo?
Iya, itu tempat wisata yang terkenal di Indonesia.
Mengapa pantai itu terkenal?
Sebab terumbu karang dan pemandangannya sangat indah.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present you pop songs from Payung Teduh. The group released a single entitled Sebuah Lagu in November 2018. Many people think that Sebuah Lagu becomes an original soundtrack from Disney animation film entitled Wreck It Ralph 2. As matter of the fact that the song Sebuah Lagu was only shown on part of credit title, especially in theaters of Indonesia and Malaysia. Therefore, the Payung Teduh has become the first Indonesian band that contributed a song for Disney film. How is the song? Let's check it out, Sebuah Lagu by Payung Teduh. Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Sebuah Lagu by Payung Teduh. The lyric narrates about very open friendship for all feelings and experiences. A close friend can become encouragement, while an expectation almost loses. The theme of Full Friendship Has Made Payung Teduh is received to collaborate with entertainment company and international media, namely Walt Disney. Moreover, Marsha Ditya is chosen to be vocalist of Payung Teduh, especially for the song Sebuah Lagu. Actually, Marsha is a manager for Payung Teduh, but she has been a singer for several times for the group. Meanwhile, it has not found permanent vocalist since 2017. It was due to Istiqomah Jamaat, or IS, resigned from the group as the vocalist since 2017. Listener, coming up now, a song entitled Untuk Perempuan Yang Sedang Dalam Pelukan. Listener, that was the song entitled Untuk Perempuan yang sedang dalam pelukan by Payung Teduh. The group has almost been on its highest position of musical chart through a song entitled Akad, although it got protests from its fans. They assume that the song of Akad doesn't have anything to do with musical character of Payung Teduh band. Therefore, the band keeps being loved both by its fans and Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, before we end our music corner for today's edition, let's listen to the last two songs by Payung Teduh, Akad and Cerita tentang Gunung dan Laut. Happy listening and see you on next edition of Music Corner.
Apa bahagianya hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu, berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu kusyukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba,
istriku.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Aku tak pernah melihat laut.
bersama tariannya. Kau perlu tertawa atau menangis pada burung dan laut, karena burung dan laut tak punya rasa. Kau perlu tertawa atau menangis pada burung dan laut, karena burung dan laut tak punya rasa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.